Open your Bibles with me, please, to Genesis 4. Genesis 4. Now, in all of these devotions, Pastor Justin assigns me a portion of the book that you're going through right now, and he my job is to examine this these couple of pages and get the theme of those pages or the primary text, and then come here and explain that to you. And the theme that I found in those pages was the theme of joy through obedience to the Word. Joy through obedience to the Word. That's our title for today, by the way. And as you write that title down, I want to say this also. I know that in a couple of weeks ago, we studied Psalm 1, which basically teaches that. Through meditation, through obedience comes this joy, this blessedness. And so what I want to do today, since we basically have a topic that is very similar to that one, is I want to expand on that theme by walking you through three passages of the Bible that teach that same reality, just so that we can get more clarity on it, on that reality that joy comes through obedience to the Word. Guys, as we begin to understand this, I want you to understand why this is important. Why is it important for us to understand that joy comes through obedience to the Word of God? Well, because you were made to be happy. Now, someone might say, wait a second, Max, I thought we were made to glorify God. We were not made to be happy. To want to be happy is selfish. We have to glorify God. That's wrong. We have to glorify God, but how do we glorify God? By delighting in God, by rejoicing in God, by having our souls satisfied in God. Listen, you were made to be happy, happy in God. You were not made to just go out there and look for what satisfies your sinful flesh. You were made to search for God and to find your soul satisfied in Him, whether you realize it or not. Your soul longs to be happy in God. The problem is that we chase after other things other than God. So let's study this reality. This reality that one of the means that God gives us to be happy in Him is through obedience to His Word. Starting in Genesis 4, I hope you're there already. This chapter begins with the start of civilization. Adam and Eve have been kicked out of the garden and have entered into a new world which they do not know, a cursed world. And they have two sons. What are their names? Cain and Abel. All right, everybody knows it. Yeah, Cain and Abel. Abel is righteous and Cain is wicked. And that's seen in the offering that they presented to God, because God was not pleased with the offering of Cain, and he was pleased with the offering of Abel. And this is where we pick up in the story. Verse 5, Genesis 4, it says, "But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. God had no regard for his offering. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? Cain, why are you so sad?' God is asking. And then God gives him a really good advice. Look at verse 7. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up?" I want you to stop there. What is God saying there? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? He's saying, Cain, if you obey, if you do what is right, if you follow the commandment of God, which you certainly did not, because God was not pleased with the offering, if you obey, will you not be happy? Do you see that? Guys, there's a sense in which God is giving Cain the formula for sadness right there. And what's the answer? Obedience to God's Word. Obedience to God's Word. Obedience to the Word brings joy. Listen, guys. Some of you guys can sometimes be marked by sadness. Throughout the past years that I've been in the middle school group, I've talked to some of you guys, some of the people that I've talked to, they've moved on to high school. And sadly, when I talk to some of these people, man, they're marked by sadness and just complaining. I ask them, what's wrong? Why are you not doing well? I ask you guys, I mean, you've seen, every time I ask you, how are you doing? You say good. And I'm like, why are you doing good? Or I'm doing okay. Why are you doing just okay? Right? And when I ask that to these people, they're like, well, life is just not going my way. Or my parents don't allow me to do this. Or I'm grounded and I can't do that. And your life is just marked by sadness. Could it be that it's marked by sadness because you don't obey the word of God? You choose not to read your Bible. You choose not to obey your parents. You choose not to be kind to your siblings. You choose to lie and cheat in tests. And worst of all, you choose not to believe in Jesus. And therefore, because you do all those things, because you disobey God, you bear the consequences. And one of the consequences is just a life that is sad. And if that is you, then listen, you got to listen to God's advice to Cain. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? All right. Now I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 15. Let's see this reality again somewhere else in Scripture. 1 Samuel 15. Some of you guys may remember our study through this chapter. And the emphasis here is not primarily joy through obedience, but blessedness through obedience. I want to show you that. In this chapter, Saul had a mission from God. He had to annihilate the Amalekites and kill King Agag. But did he obey? Did Saul obey? That's right. He did not obey. And so Samuel shows up. And by the way, Samuel represents the word of God. He's a prophet of God. He brings the word of God to Saul. And so he says this in verse 22, 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Samuel said, it says, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Now stop there. That's a rhetorical question. What's he asking? Does God delight in your offering and sacrifices just as much as he does in you obeying his word? What's the answer? No, he does not. He wants your obedience. Keep reading. He says that. He says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed," meaning to heed God's word, "better than the fat of rams." He's saying, man, you could bring the purest ram to sacrifice to God. You could give your life to the ministry. You could be a total success in life. You could end world hunger and save all the turtles from evil plastic straws. All right? You could go into the mission field and you could share the gospel with everybody and the entire world comes to faith because of you. But do you want to know what it is that God cares most about? Your obedience. Your obedience more than your sacrifice. Now, of course, you can sacrifice in obedience to God, and if you become a Christian, you will have to sacrifice self in order to live for God. But the point here, Saul, God had told Saul, hey, you need to kill everything, including all the animals. And he saved all the sheep and the ram and rams in order to sacrifice them to God. And so he's like, well, I mean, I didn't obey the command in order to bring an offering to God. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, he told you to kill them. How is that going to be pleasing to him? The point is, God desires your obedience. Now, keep reading verse 23. It says, "For rebellion," it says, "the sin of divination, and insubordination," which means willful disobedience. So willful disobedience to the word of God is as iniquity and idolatry. He's saying, listen, look, God holds your willful disobedience to his word in the same rank as he holds divination and iniquity and idolatry, he's saying. Then keep reading. He says, "Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Whoo! The benefit of obedience would have been blessing and joy and kingship. But Saul disobeyed, and so now he loses everything. He loses everything. And his life goes downhill after this. And this reminds me of 2 Chronicles 16, by the way. In verse 9, it says this. Just listen. You don't have to turn there. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support, that he may strongly bless, that he may strongly strengthen." If you want to put it that way. Who? God is looking throughout the earth, looking for one kind of person. Who is it? Is it the talented? Is it the gifted? Is it the good-looking? Is it the cool people? Is it the popular? Is it the famous? It says he's looking for the one whose heart is completely his, the one whose heart is obedient. Isaiah 66:2. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. When you read the Bible, guys, when you read the Bible, and I hope you read the Bible, when you listen to a sermon, when you hear of a command that you are not obeying, do you tremble at the word of God? You say, man, I need to obey this because God made me for his glory and I'm not obeying this. Do you say, man, how can I apply this to my life that I would be more pleasing to him? You tremble at the word, not because you're trembling at a book, but you're trembling at the word of God. Like God wrote this. This is what God wants from you. Is that your heart? An obedient heart. Now, last passage. Turn to Luke 11. Luke 11. Let's see what Jesus has to say about the topic. In this section, Jesus is teaching the crowds. He's expounding incredible realities. And out of nowhere, a woman in the crowd raises her voice and starts saying something. So let's see what she says. Look at verse 27. Luke 11, 27. While Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. Oh, how blessed and how happy must your mother be, because she's your mom." And now look at what Jesus says, 28. But he said, "On the contrary, blessed," meaning happy, satisfied, fulfilled, "blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." You want to know how to have joy in life? Jesus tells you, blessed, happy, fulfilled, satisfied are those who obey the word of God. Now, we could keep going, guys, with verse after verse after verse after verse, because this reality is everywhere in the Bible, everywhere. But you get the point. Joy comes through obedience to the word of God. That's one of the means that God gives his people joy, obedience. And let me clarify something, guys, before we finish. I'm not talking about obedience in order to be saved. I hope you know that by now through all the classes we've been to. You cannot save yourself. I'm not talking about you trying to read the Bible and obey everything you read because, man, if you don't do that, God's going to be angry at you and you're going to go to hell. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you trying to be perfect in order to achieve some stance before a holy God. You can't do that. That's why we need Jesus, right? You can't be perfect. You can't obey perfectly. In fact, you've never obeyed one single thing perfectly. That's why we need Jesus. He is God in the flesh who loved you so much that he came into the world to live the perfect life you never lived. He was perfect in every single thing he did. He lived the perfect life you never did so that you never lived. He obeyed perfectly so that he could die on the cross in your place. And so that he could take the wrath of God, the hell that you deserved because you had sinned against the holy God. And in that moment, he can take it in your place and you can take his righteousness so that now if you believe in Jesus that he is who he says he is, he's God in the flesh, and that he did what he says he did, he died for you. If you believe that and repent of your sins, you can be saved and be born again. And now you are righteous before a holy God. You're saved. You don't need to do anything to save yourself. All right? Now, what we're talking about then is not that. It's not obedience in order to be saved. You need Jesus in order to be saved. But we're talking about now obedience now that you have been saved. If you have been saved, if you're not saved, you need to believe in Jesus right now. If you don't know if you're saved, you need to go home. You need to get on your knees in your room. You need to pray to God from the heart. Lord, I don't know if I'm saved. Save me, oh Jesus. That's the first command you need to obey. It's a command, guys, to obey in believing the gospel and repenting of your sins. You need to do that right now. And even if you obey it, it's not you. It's God saving you and giving you that faith. God must do that work. All right, you need to do that. And once you do that, you need to spend the rest of your life obeying him, reading scripture and seeking to obey him. And if you do that, you will have this joy. And you will have this joy, first of all, because you're fulfilling your purpose in life. You're glorifying God. Again, you were made to glorify God, to be satisfied in God. Guys, that's the most rewarding thing in the world, to obey and glorify and live life for the glory of your Savior. And you will also receive joy because you're living according to the manual that he gave you for life. You'll be blessed in life. You will have the favor of God. And then lastly, You'll be blessed because you'll have the supernatural peace that God speaks. This peace that surpasses all understanding, the Bible puts it. It's a supernatural peace that only those who are walking by the Spirit can have. And we've talked about this before. That means you're walking by the Bible. You're reading the Bible, studying the Bible, living the Bible. And you will have this supernatural peace from God. I hope you long for that, guys. Some of you guys reject this reality that you need to obey the word of God because you think that obedience or every command for obedience, it's a killjoy. It's just there to kill your joy. You just want to have fun. You just want to be free. No, guys, God wants your good. Isn't it amazing, by the way? Isn't it amazing? Listen, even if you didn't have any joy in obeying the word of God, you would still have to obey because he's your creator. He's God. He commands you to do something, you do it. But he's not only telling you to obey, he's telling you this. If you obey, you will have the greatest joy. You will have the greatest peace. This is what's good for you. I made you and I know what you need. And it's this. Follow it for your own good. Do you see that? He's so kind. He's so gracious. And not only is he so gracious in that regard, but I mean, just think about it. It's like, is there anything we can do that's actually good? Like in perfectly good, let's put it that way. No. There's never been a prayer you've ever prayed where there's no sin in that prayer. Like selfishness or pride or whatever it is. Like I can pray right here or I can teach right here. You don't know what my intentions are. You know, you could be helping anybody out there. How, like, have you ever thought about, well, what percentage of what this good deed that I just did is actually righteous, and what percentage is pride, and what percentage is just going through the motions, not really caring about what I'm doing, but I just know I have to get this done so that I don't get in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Like, every single good deed that we do is stained by sin, and yet God looks at it, and he considers obedience. He considers that obedience if your heart and the intentions of your heart are pure. If you really long to obey God, even though you live a life where you're never going to be perfect, he takes that and he honors it and he rewards you with his joy. He's so gracious, guys. So gracious. All right, how can you apply these things to your life today? It may be, guys, that you finally take out the trash and obey your parents tonight. And you receive the joy of making your parents happy. I hope you rejoice when your parents are happy with you, when they see you obey and grow and they're like, oh man, yes, like good job. That's a blessing. It may be that you finally have to start studying for a test instead of cheating, and you get the joy of not having to go through the consequences of your sin. It may be that you have to stop wasting time on your phone and being idle, because that's a sin, by the way. And you finally get off the couch and stop being a couch potato and start getting productive and start serving people. It may be that you go home and you really consider if you should start serving in the ministry teams. Because by the way, if you claim to be a Christian, it's a command that you serve. It doesn't mean that you have to be in the actual team, the service team, but you need to come here thinking, man, how can I serve people? It's a command that you use your spiritual gift, right? And you get the joy of being useful. You get the joy of being a blessing to people. And you get the joy of knowing you're honoring God. What are ways in which you can obey this and enjoy the blessing, the joy of obedience? How blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night, and he obeys it. And he will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Man, this is a happy person. This is such a happy person because he obeys the word. But the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, and the wicked will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. Why? Because the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He loves the way, the life of the righteous. Why does he love it? Because he made their way. He wrote their way in the Bible, and they followed it. They obeyed. So he's delighted. God is delighted and is rejoicing as he sees the righteous lives of his people, and he blesses them for it. But the way of the wicked will perish, it says. One day the wicked will spend eternity in torment, in hell, and yet the righteous will not only rejoice here, they will rejoice forever with Christ in heaven. Read the word, study the word, obey the word, and you will rejoice. You will rejoice. Pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful realities that we find in your word. Please, we ask you, give us joy by giving us obedience. Give us obedience to your word. Give us a zeal to obey your word. Give us this trembling heart at your word. May we love it. May we read it. May we want to obey it. And would you give us the strength to obey it? Please. Please, that you would be glorified and that we would rejoice in you. For your name's sake, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.